Good evening.
Good evening.
Could you start by telling me your name, where you were born, and when you were born?
My name is Rupert Minter. My two middle name, I just put R-R-L. Well, I was born in Jamaica, St. Anne's Brownstone. I lived there until I was 15. My mom leave when I was about 13 years old to come to England. We split up with my dad. So after the splitting up, I will live with my uncle and his family until I come. When mom sent for me at the age of 15, I arrived in England 1967, the 22nd of September. Was living in Birmingham, in Erdington, a place called Erdington, where one of the boroughs called Erdington. And I lived there for a good while, actually. And then we moved to Sutton Coldfield, which is that comes down to Four Oaks at the time. I lived there for about 7 years, 7-8 years. I even get married there, my first wife. And then we had two children. I moved out and then we had two children. And we had two children. And then later on, I moved into my own flat. And then we had the third one. And then we buy a house, me and my first wife. But that fell through after about 9 years. And then I live on my own for a little while. I rented accommodations and then I went to work one morning because I'm a qualified toolmaker engineer. And I was working in this company. And we used to make even gasket for McLaren motor cars. And I was on good money, but I went in one morning and the gaffer comes up, well, he owns a company, and he ordered 3 brand spanking top of the range Range Rover. One for him, one for his wife and one for his son. And then he had the cheek to come on the shop floor and said, "Sorry, I can't give you a rise this year because the government say so." I said, "You what?" And he said, "No, I can't give you a rise." I said, "Well, if you can't give me a rise, my friend," I said, "well, what about give us some more, like bonus?" And, "Oh, I can't do that either." I said, "Well, fair enough. Thank you very much." I said, "You got a week's notice." "Oh, so you can't do that?" I said, "Oh, yes, I can." She was the only tool maker in the place. When you're talking of tools, I'm making tools bigger than the television in there and smaller than the cup here. Massive. And so, when I make big tools, the lorry comes for them, take it up to the place, and then the next day I drive up there because I have my own car, but they actually bought me a van. Company bought me a brand new van, and every 3 years they changed it. And I keep that van 24/7. So I got my car parked up on the van. And I went in and I said, "Right, I'm not working for the same money again." I said, "Either you do something or I'm off." And he thought I was bluffing. So that week notice lasted for 3 months. And he thought I would stop there because there were some jobs I have to finish off myself. And then after 3 months, pack my tools, take them home in the van, take everything home, then bring the van back the Monday morning and say, "Tala, gone." So after a while, I said to my daughter then, my youngest daughter, who I got, at that time then I got 3 daughters. And she had a flat and she was in a little bit of trouble with it. So I said, 2-bedroom flat. So I said, "I'm moving with you and sort you out." And then I'll go. So I done that for about 8 months. put her on top. So I said, no, you can manage now, ain't you? He said, yeah. So you know Jim down here, used to live down here. I found him for my two first cousins. And I said to him, I said, right, I want to come down for a couple of weeks. In a couple of weeks, probably about 20 years. We bought this house, me and Val, and we lived here for 14 years. So I lived with Jim for about a couple of years, and then I lived with Bassett for about 4 years, then we moved and bought this house. So, I mean, that's about it. So, you know, I mean, but when I come down here, the first job I went to, he said, when can you start? I said, have we got a job then? He said, skilled like yours, my brother, we've been looking for it. So I started, and the place in Cumbrian, they used to call aeroplane seat, you know, Canto seatings at the time. And then it changed, and I think at the moment now you call it Safran. I worked there that's the only place I worked then, yeah. So we live here 14 years, a little past it, probably about four. And I got a job when I lived with Jim, so four. I worked there for, right up from, you know what I mean, from about, can't tell you the year. Can't remember the year when I started there. But I worked there for about at least 16, 17 years. I worked there. And then after I retired, I said, that's it. I done 6 months over. I was going to do 12 months. And then we went on holiday, I come back. And there was a letter from my doctor, which is then going around there. At least very surgery. And he says, I have to come in the office. So we're going. He said, oh, we're calling for a flu jab. So I said, I never take it in my life. So why should I take it now? So he said, well, since we got it, might as well take care of one or the another one. I said, no, I don't want it. And they actually talked me into it. So I took the flow job the Friday and sat the morning, I get up with gout. And I just decided to pack up work then. I said, well, I could move. And I never feel pain like that in my life. So that's it, I just packed up. And then a few of us, I think two girls from the office come down here to see me because I couldn't move. And they said, right, we can give you, you know, see if or was. And they said, I don't know when I'll be any better to come back to work. She said, well, we come down here to give you an option, you can have redundancy. With full paid. I said, well, that's fair enough. So I took that. So, but you know what I mean? I still went go up there sometimes and see the lads and have a chat with them. But apart from that, and then I meet a lot of people down here, different function and things like that. That's how I meet your dad, your granddad. And we met, and then, you know, both of us, we just hit it off just like that. And they would chat and talk, say, if he goes in, going out anyway, and sometimes, I don't know if he tells you, but sometimes you phone up each other and say, what are you doing? And he said, not much. I said, okay, then, shall we have tea or lunch or something like that? Said, yeah. Most time we go into, you know, Tesco and Cardiff Road. We go in there, I drive up there, park in Tesco's car park, and then we go in Tesco and we have a lunch and sit there and have a good chat, and then I took him home and drive him home. So everywhere we go, he said, I'll take a taxi. I said, no, man. I'll drive you home.
What do you remember about your childhood in the Caribbean, growing up in the Caribbean?
Ooh. Fun. And lots of it. We used to have different seasons where we have different games. Sometimes, you know what I mean, I can't tell you what season it is, but I know it's in the summer. You have like kite where you make your own kite and sail it in the air and see which one's to stay. What we used to do as lads, we used to get razor blade, and we get like a piece of bamboo, split it, and then put the razor blade in, then push one side of the razor blade in there, and tie the razor blade, you know where the razor blade comes in, we tie it around with strings, and then put it on the old kite string, you know they call it the tail of the kite, not the string we're sending up, the tail of it. The tail, so to keep the kite balanced in the air. And we used to go kite hunt, you know, go sailing up, like we call down there Lincoln. And we used to go take the kites up to Summer Hill to sail with the razor blade in it, you see. So when all the kites came out, we put a short list on our kite, like a short string on our kite, so it wouldn't go too far. And then pull it up against there, and then when the tail comes up, the razor blade would slip the cord. And we have men over the other side, boys over the other side. We give them back the kite, but we keep the cord. So at the end of the season, I probably have a bowl, you know, me about that long and about that one. But it's not just us do it. They do it to somebody else, somewhere else. It's all over the video, all over the district, all over the island, all over the parish, you know, different things. But we all make a joke of it, and then at the end of it, now we laugh and say, oh, who's got the biggest bongo? It's a fun. Then we have to have, you know, you're heard of gig, eh? You ever heard of gig? Well, we don't buy a gig over there, we make our own. Yeah. We used to make it from cotton tree or guava tree or pimento, which is tough wood. So, you know what I mean? So you make a gig and you make for yourself, you make a tiny little one. And then they'll make big ones, and then you say, right, you know, we used to put the gig down, head up. So you put the sprite down, and then the gig on top there. And we used to take spot shock at the gig. You know, you have to really hold them and see how close you can get. But the idea is to get it onto the gig and to cause damage. And the one that caused the most damage, you know, is the winner. So when you have a little gig like that, you know what I mean? You can cause a lot of damage with it, because the big gig, when they come after it, they always miss, you know what I mean? Either too close or not close enough, but they never really get the target. But with a small gig, you can hit the target, because there's a big and it's only small, so you know what I mean? That's all we used, you know, we do that, and we used to have animals as well. And, you know what I mean, I used to have a bull cow. You know what I mean? Massive he was. But and I never tied him. In the evening, I tied him when I took him out in the morning to feed. But going to feed, pick him up in the evening, I come in and just let him there. And I never tied him. He wouldn't go anywhere. He wouldn't stray. He knows where his boundaries. And that's it. I used to have goats as well. I actually have 4 goats, and same with them. They take them home, and we got about, say, probably about my. I live with my uncle after my mom come to England before I come here, and we have probably about 15 acres of land, and then it's all wired round. The land is all wired round. It's back wire. So there's no need to tie them up. Only when you take them out in the morning, you take them out so they can feed one place, so you tie them. So when you go back in the evening, you know where they are. You still have to run around looking for them, you know where they are. But apart from that, and my school days, we got good fun out there, man. Really good fun. But you know, the difference what I find when I come to England is, the classrooms was more completely different. In Jamaica, you have one teacher who's teaching probably about 90 kids. And you know, they got them in 3 groups, like A, B, and C. See, like, you know, one, if you're bright, you're in A. If you're less bright, you're in B. But if you're a bit awkward, you're in C. And that's how they teach you. And there's one teacher. So you don't move from one class to another. You got that one teacher for 12 months. So if you don't pass your exams, you're there another 12 months. With the same teacher. But I think the longest I have stayed in one class is probably about 9 months. Because so far, you know what I mean, I wouldn't say I was a brilliant reader. But when it comes to maths and history and things like that, I wasn't a stronger reader as the rest. I take more time to study. And I make sure I could study a book and then I could recite it afterwards. And that's what I stick to what I do, and all my exams, I do the same thing. I pass to go to high school, but my dad wouldn't contribute to it too much. I said, no, leave it. I stick with the old school I goes to. And then about age of 14, face a person, you know, they kick you out of school at 15 and a half. Age of 14, I said, I had enough of this. So I went and worked with my uncle until I leave there and come to England. So I work as a carpenter. I work as a plasterer. Well, when they said plasterer in Jamaica, bricklaying and plasterer is the same trade, because you do the bricklaying and then you come back and you do the plastering. You don't do like bricklaying and somebody else do the plastering. You do it yourself. You do the whole complete thing.
What do you remember about the discipline in the household back in Jamaica?
Oh, there was discipline, all right. You see, what I remember about that, the older one disciplined the younger ones. So if you was a toddler and you was, say 10 years old, the 12 years old would discipline you, and then the 14 year old would discipline him. And it's stages. So as I said, I didn't live with my dad after my mom's life, but I live with my uncle. But my uncle, he never ever whipped me, nor my auntie. Never whipped me, never beat me. I don't do anything to do get whipping, you know what I mean? If there was nothing there, you know, we'd have the big oven, and it used wood fired, so it's dry wood. And there was none, I just go up the you know, because I ain't gonna go far for the hill, because the house we built is right underneath a hillside. So you just climb up there, and there's always dry tree up there. you cut down a few and roll it down. And you just roll down. And then we also have this great big cast iron stove, and you put the wood in one side of it and light it, and then you have 6 burners on the top. So you can cook 6 pots at the same time. So, you know what I mean, it was fun, and I got my own bedroom. My bedroom was, this is the only one in there with flooring, wood flooring. So, and then I wouldn't let nobody clean my bedroom. I have to clean it myself. If I like to see when it's clean and shine, and, you know what I mean? And he's got wardrobe and a dressing table in there, and one chair. So I can do my own work. It was fun. I thought there was about 14 of us living in the house. Because the house was about 16 apartment. Massive house. And my uncle was a building contractor, so he built his own house. And one of the rooms he built, there was a tank underneath the room. And then the room built on top. So, in the drought, that day was a reserve to go through, you know. So we always have water. And every, you know, all the boy Pitney could drive at the age of probably about 10, 12 years old. And we used to take it in terms. We used to have like this big stone crusher just down the bottom. My uncle owns half, and well, the Charlie's in the Herman Charlie's, he's a big man, white man, and he had his store in Brownstone. And then he owns the other half of the stone crusher. So they own the crusher between us. So as boy Pitney, we used to rush home, and we used to have two vans to pick up, ton and a quarter and ton and a half. And he's the first one who reached home in charge of that one. So I've been driving since I was 12 years old, I'm young. Drawing stone. Man, you got more blocks and stones in there. Well, every trip you make, too, we didn't have license, and it's a big, you know, you could, you know, it's a big property. People used to gather the stones out, dig stones, and we dried for the so we just write down how many stone, how many loads of stone we draw from him. So each load of stone the van pick up, they get 10 shilling. And they guarantee other than 10 shilling, they give me one. So anyone be kind to me, I bring their stone more. So, them days when you get, my old man used to, on a Saturday night, my old man, I used to see him. And he used to give my auntie some money and give me £1, my pocket money. And in them days, my friend, that's it. I never ask him for books or anything because I used to save that money up. I spend some, but I save some. And all the books I want, I buy it. So I don't have to give them away to anybody else. Because sometimes, you're doing lessons, you need them books to fall back on. And so if you give them away, you got nothing, you know what I mean? You, the memory ain't gone back that far. But, you know what I mean? So, but in them days in Jamaica was real days, man. But mango time, orange time, guava, coconut. They hardly seen the boys at home, my friend. We gone out to forge for ourselves, you know what I mean? We carry things home, but especially on a school holiday, you know what I mean? Like summer, we used to get 6 weeks summer, Christmas 4 weeks, Easter 2 weeks, and they had days now and again. But once the boys do what they're supposed to do at home, nobody bothers you. The time was yours, if you know what I mean. Nobody bothers you. But when I come, to, you know, I mean, then I come to England, 1967. I leave the September the 21st, and I land here the 22nd. And when I come here, the first thing I seen was all these houses across there, and smoke was coming up through the chimney. And I remember saying to Mum, I said, when she picked me up at Heathrow, it wasn't Gatwick, it was Heathrow. She picked me up at Heathrow. And he coming up, I said, Mum, I said, it won't take long to get a job over here, innit? She said, why? I said, all these bakeries they got over here. But the only thing we see in Jamaica with a chimby is a bakery. Nothing more. No houses ain't got chimbies out there because you don't need it. And she said, son, I don't want to disappoint you too much, but that's not a bakery, that's a house. I said, you mean to tell me you take me away from what I gotta bring me into a bakery? And she said, you'll find out when you go home. Anyway, we go home. And she said, well, that's your room in there. It was a nice room. Good size room, probably about the size of the third bedroom and the size here. if I could get a double bed in there and a little wardrobe. And I said, ah. I said, and then when, you know what I mean, that was September, I'll go back to school. I had a week at home, and then I was back in school in Nietzsche Secondary. And I spent 12 months. And then time to go to work. But before all that, comes, I think it was September, October, it started to snow. And I never seen snow before. I read of snow and seen in a book, what, you know what I mean? How they come. And I was out there looking. And these flakes, and I said to mama, I said, all you need now is some syrup. in Jamaica, what we do, the big block of ice, they used to have like a shaver. I used to shave the ice, and he knock the ice, so it rammed, shave it and knock it and shave it and knock it. Then, and if you take it out, slide it out and slide it in a cup and pour syrup all over it. And that was the threepence, which is half a tanner. And I said, all I need now, mommy, some syrup. She said, you can't eat that, sir. She said, you can't eat. She said, come out. You'll have chilled blood. I said, what's that? I said, this is fun. I even lie down in there, rolling in the snow. Coming on. I tell the man, I had a chilled blood, my friend. I scream. I never feel pain like that in my life. I said, I want to go home. I want to go home. Oh, dear.
So tell me about your experiences and your story coming into Newport, and what was it like? What was the culture like?
Well, before I come to Newport, I was in Birmingham for a good while. So all my youths, till I had married and even divorced, and three children in Birmingham. And I said, get up one morning and just leave in my daughter, and she said, they're still working. And I said, right, you're all right now, you can manage now, ain't you? She said, yes, Dad, they take me out the rot. So you can get yourself and put yourself right. Yeah. But the kids was, that was the last one I was living with. Her name was Kelly, she died now, she died a few years ago. And I phoned Jim and said, oh, I'm coming down for 2 weeks. And that 2 weeks probably lasted for about 18 years, 18, 19 years. So I come there and I didn't have the urge to go back, if you know what I mean. I visit Birmingham because I got friends up there, but I didn't have the urge to go back. I started working there. I was on good money. So, I was not good as I was in Burnham, but not far off. If with overtime, a lot more. And I could do as much overtime as I want to, but I limit myself so far. I work Saturday and Sunday, because I get double time for Sunday and time and a half for Saturday. So I work them. And I do about 2 hours a night, sometimes in the week. But mostly hour and a half I done. Go an hour early and then stay another half an hour and then come home. So, he helped us to pay off this house. So, in 10 years we paid this house off. With me and Val. But, hard savings of it to do it. Really, really hard. Hard saving and sacrifice. But we did it.
Talking about money,
yeah.
How much did it cost you to come to the UK from Jamaica?
Oh dear. It didn't cost me, cost mum. Oh dear. It was less than £100. If I'm not mistaken, it's about 60-odd pound. I can't remember the direct figure, but I think it's somewhere in that region.
and you flew over. What was the journey like? What was the journey like flying over?
It was quite comfortable, actually. We stopped off in New York for 12 hours. And, being a young lad, you got like a tutor with you, so, you wouldn't get lost or anything. But when I stopped in New York, I quite like it in there. I said, oh, this is fun. But it was just coming up to the winter. This is fun, I said. Quite nice. And then we board the plane again, and it took off for England. And I paid to come to Birmingham, so I was waiting for the next plane to take me in from Heathrow to Birmingham. And Mum come to Heathrow and meet me. So I lose the third flight. But I went to school in 2 weeks, and I didn't have any problems. People have problems, but I didn't have any. It's like I just fit in. Even the headmaster said, even when I leave in school, the headmaster said, never seen anyone like that. I just fit in. Don't have arguments with nobody or anything. Just fit in.
And what was the education system like in the UK compared to your time in school in Jamaica?
Well, I must admit, the education in Jamaica was good, but UK was, I would say, slightly better. I'm going to give you the reason why. Because in Jamaica, in your class, English, maths, any other subject, you go through history, geography, science, is only one teacher. You don't leave from one class and go to another class and go to another class. You got the same teacher that teach you everything. So, it take me a while to work it out. So when you becomes, you start moving up to other, other class. It's the same teacher does everything. And everything the teachers does, some of them have a different ways of bringing it out to you. So it makes you, a little bit confused at times, if I speak the truth. It makes you confused at times because you don't know what's what from what's not. Because every one of them have a different way of teaching it. But when I come over and go back to school, it's not like that. To me, the way they do it in England was the proper way. This man is like maths, this one is like English, science, history, and things like that. So everybody teaches one subject, if you know what I mean. And he's specializing in that one subject, not specializing about 10 others. One subject. So he can more or less recite that subject all the way through. And I find that's a better idea of teaching. Even when I go back to Jamaica on holiday, I go back to school, and I actually go and see some of the class teacher, and I told them, I said, it's all wrong what you're doing. You see, one teacher shouldn't be doing that, because one teacher don't know everything. If you specialize in English, that's what you should be teaching. You specialize in maths, that's what you should be teaching. You specialize in geometry, that's what you should be teaching. Well, not one teacher doing all that, you see. And I said, I think now, at the moment, now, things are slightly different now in Jamaica with the teaching. But, as I said, I enjoy, never had a police record. Passed me test first time. As a matter of fact, I passed my test a week before I was 17.
Ay, do you recall about the food coming into the UK compared to Jamaica?
Oh, no comparison there. No comparison at all. No. Well, you know what I mean? It's, for what, you know, from where we're coming from and how long it takes, it's not too bad. But it's not, no comparison to the one you eat, you know what I mean? You go to Jamaica, and, you know, for instance, think, piece of yam, yellow yam, or any yam you want. And that yam is fit, and you cooked it, or you roast it. So sometimes you roast it. Then you roast it, and, you know what I mean, you get like a knife, and you push it there, and if it comes up, and it's the bread, it's not baked. So you leave it, you pull the fire right underneath it, and let it soak, let the steam soak it. And when you're done again, and it dries all the way, it's roast. So you don't peel it then, you scrape it. So you got like a hard skin, like a bacon skin, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? You know, like the pig skin, you know, when you fry it, and that crispy part of it, that tough crispy, you got like that. So you split it in two, scrape the middle, a little bit of middle, and put butter in it, and then close it back. Then leave it on top of the fire, you know what I mean? Let it simmer down, the butter goes all the way through. And when you eat that, man, sometimes the butter runs down there. I went back home, and I said to them, you know, the first time I went back home, I said to them, he said, do you know what I want? He said, what? A piece of roast yam. What I wanted, you roast it, and I scrape it, and I put it, and then put the butter in. You know what I mean? Just the taste of it. I tried it over here. Don't taste the same. Don't taste the same. But it's just the taste of it, man. And, you know, somebody did the food over there, my friend. You know, they got some yams over there. And you cut it, and, it, you know, it's like you're cutting a dumpling. You know, you cut it, and the knife going too slowly. I mean, you take piece and you chew it, my friend. It's gummy, so you have to. It can choke you. So you gotta be very careful how you eat it, my friend. And the one they call the yellow yam, you heard of it, ain't you? Back home, my friend, when you got a really good piece of yellow yam, this is the plate with your food in, and this is the jug of water, because you need that to eat that. Because it's that dry, if it slipped down the wrong choke, my man, you want water. You want water, my man. So you have some good time, man. I go to the beach. So as I said, my uncle was a building contractor. So he used to build houses all over the place. So he builds sometimes at the seaside, so we go there. Although I'm not a strong swimmer, but I could help myself. You go there, the man, you look out, and nobody's there. All clothes are dipping. Nobody. Nobody takes it, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, especially the houses away from the road, you know what I mean? Nobody not look for your spy on you, man. You just jump in there, nodding, you know, come out. Look around, dry yourself, put your clothes down, and you're gone. Oh, boy. And as I said, you know, when you come to the season, orange season, tangerine, you got some called mandarine as well. Say similar to tangerine, you peel them the same way, but they're probably twice as big as tangerine. You got star apple, you got apple, you got plums, and each of them don't come in like in the same time. They're like weeks apart they comes in. So you have plenty of time to go around. And if you eat this one and you saw it, you say, you wipe it off the list. Don't want that, leave it for the birds. See, it gotta be sweet, man. And I mean, sugar key in time. You go out and you know, you have some cane back home, they call it the governor cane. And the most people's, each home you go to, you'll have like one or two roots in there. And when you just have to plant one sucker in, and then in about 12 months, my friend, you have about a massive, the way it grows, a massive, so you can go in there and break a cane out and nobody misses it. But all you do is chop the top off and the bottom and you plant it back somewhere else and then that bears up again. And PM as you go, to, you know what I mean? We have all these at home, which we got access to it 24/7, but we don't touch them. You know, they're not interested. We're going to raid other people's. It's more fun to raid them. So we raid them and they raid us. You know, that's what the kids are. Peer time, you know, they are other call of peer. If you go to the tree and it's good size, but it's like watery. Nah, we don't want that. That to feed pigs. But anytime we come to a tree and it's dry, you know what I mean? That's it, my friend. That mark. And we make sure we time it. You always have a good climber in the lot. And the dog who owns it, we say, well, climb it up and pick some, and so I can have some as well to eat. He goes up. Before you know, you have a bag of pear coming on with. Orange, the same thing. Coconut, the same thing. We used to steal the next door coconut, innit? Marsh Ralph, you know, you got about 6 or 7 coconut trees. Marsh Ralph, can we have a coconut? No, but you can buy one. So I said, okay, the Marsh Ralph, we buy them. He said, okay, then go and pick them. I said, no, we pick them later. So, you know, later on, somebody, I was a hopeless climber. Somebody climb it, and then pick the old bunch off, so you just kick it off. The old bunch off, you're on the pipe, you want. Sometimes he called us, and he said, oh, you can, while you're up there, you can bring me some down. He said, oh, yeah, jelly coconut. You ever drink jelly coconut? Yeah? You don't know what you're missing, son. You don't know what you're missing. Especially when you get a good jelly coconut, you ask your granddad, you cut it and you put it in the fridge and let it cool. And then you drink that, my friend, oh man, you don't know what you're missing. So you throw the water out and then you split it, the husks, you know, the actually coconut in two, because it don't get hard, it's still soft. And you get your cutlass and you chip a little piece of the same outside skin and you scoop it out and you eat that. You know what I mean? We call that jelly. Man, that's... Oh! Every time I think like that, I want to go home. Oh, boy. Orange, the same thing. And if the orange tree is sour, we mark it. Leave that for the birds. We don't want that. You got some orange, they call it navel orange. And they're that size and bigger. You couldn't finish one. And some of them sweet. That sweet is Clyden. So you eat 2 or 3 pegs and you don't want no more, you know what I mean? So you dish it out and give all the rest. Too sweet Clyden. Can't eat it. And some of them are that big. So you think you peel it and you peg it. So you peg and some of the pegs are about that long. And they like syrup all the way down. You eat 2, you don't want no more. Clyden, man.
What was your experience then tasting British cuisine, British food?
When I come here first, fish and chips, I like it. Pie and chips, I wasn't too clever about, you know what I mean? I said no, but the fish with the, you know, in the butter, that tastes good to me. You know what I mean, I like it. And when I go to school, we used to have school dinners. I used to like some of the puddings over there. You know what I mean, like sponge pudding and things like that with custard. I used to like that. But most of the dinners, I would eat a little bit. I wouldn't finish it because some of them you have to add salt to it and I said, no, I said, you're supposed to cook with salt. When you cook
liquid salt, everything goes in the, you know, all the salt it goes in the food because you put the salt in the water, so the water cooks the food, so everything goes in there. But you have to add salt to it, you know what I mean? I didn't see the sense in that. I just didn't see the sense in that.
Was it easy to keep in touch with friends and family back home?
Yes and no. Because not many people have like a telephone. You know what I mean? It's only like the wealthy do would have telephones. So you'd have to go to like in the town, like in the, you see, and then you could use a phone in the town. And so if I would, like, I want to talk to my mom, I'd write her and give her a number where she can phone me and at that special time, and then she could phone, and then I'll be there. And then whoever owns the phone will talk to her and then hand it to me. And then, he probably say, oh, well, you have to pay such and such for the car. So I just do, you know what I mean? Mom have to pay over here, but it still costs him a little bit over there, so you have to pay for it. So, but you could still talk to people when you was back home and talking, you know what I mean? But mostly you talk and you do it through letters. You write a letter and send it to the post and she'd get it. That's how she used to send me money, through the post.
And do you keep in touch with people in Jamaica now?
Yeah, I do. Not as often as I should do, but I still keep in touch with them. Now and again, I phone them over there, and if anything goes wrong, they'll phone me. And I try and help them if I can.
What would you say the biggest tradition or custom that you miss from Jamaica is?
Fresh food. Fresh fruit, man, fresh fruit. And you ever eat sugar cane? You eat sugar cane? Well, we got some, they call it the governor cane. Which is, you know what I mean? It's about that big. And it's big. But it's soft. So a joint would be about that long. From one joint to the next joint, it's about that long. And you only need that. If you eat any more, my friend, that would junk you. Especially if it's an extra hot day, that would junk you. Be walking up there, and you don't know it. That would junk you. Especially if you cut it and put it down for about a week, you got like it starts fermented, so you got like a brown, you know what I mean, stripe all the way through. And you eat too much of that, my friend, and you ain't gonna last long. You don't last long. Trust me, you don't last long. You'll be drunk. I don't care how strong you are, my friend, you would be drunk. But that thing will knock you off your feet, just like that. It's nice, but once you start eating it, my friend, you don't know when to stop. And that's the worst part of it.
Tell me about music traditions and things you kept in the UK when you came.
Well, the music, when I come to the UK, and I was playing music, my friend, I was, that's something. I said, that's only one beat. The beat was ching 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 ling 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 ching ching. So I remember when I was going to school in Nichols, secondary, I was having a party and they said, bring your records in. So I said, I bring a few records in and a few tapes and they were playing it. And I said, where you get these records from? I said, those are my country music. Oh, they're good. Do you like our music? I said, not really. I said, your music is all ching-a-ling-ling-ling like a one string. I said, you have to put, you know what I mean? You got, I said, there's no bass in it. I said, no, you listen to this one. Now you can hear the bass coming through, all the different instruments coming through. I said, yours is all ching-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, every single one on the same, sound the same, especially the Beatles, which, you know, killing itself. I said, I tell you the honest truth, I can't see the beauty about Beatles. I said, to me, they're rubbish. They said, oh, well, every man to his own culture. I said, well, there you are. I said, I couldn't put it better myself. Every man to his own culture.
What traditions have you given up or had to change?
Not a lot, really. But I still eat this, my West Indies food. As I said, I like fish and chips, but curries and things like that. No, I prefer the West Indies curry. I tried the British curry, I said, no, this ain't for me. West Indies curry, you can taste it. The spice in it and the pepper in it, innit? You eating that and you're drinking water at the you're drinking water at the same time. I said no.
Is there any family heirlooms or any photographs or ornaments or anything in particular tradition from Jamaica that you've kept?
I used to. Where they are now, I used to keep them, and then when the kids growing up, I distribute them to the kids, so the kids would have them. I mean, the kids would have them. The last one, last daughter, Kelly, the one that died, I took her to Jamaica. She spent what? 3 months. Oh, she didn't want to come back. She cried her heart out when I took her back to Montego Bay Airport. She cried, she don't want to come back. She said, I don't want to see, why should leave this to go back to the way I'm going back to? And sometimes I regret it. I said, probably if I'd leave her there, she probably was still alive. But you never know, this is where things are. That's the way things is sometimes, my friend. You have to take the good with the bad and the bad with the good.
Just finally,
yeah.
You said your time coming to the UK, you fit straight in, you fit right in.
I did, I just fit in. Even when I goes to work, I remember I start working 8th of April, 8th of April 1968, apprentice toolmaker. We used to have a bloke, Mr. King. He was a youth employment agency. And he comes to, and I used to go to school, Nietzsche Secondary. And he comes there, and he said, right, you leave enough to go to work? I said, I haven't found anything yet. He said, oh, you will find. With my maths, I'm really up on maths. Really hot. He said, I said, what do you want to do? I said, well, carpentry. He said, well, you can do better than that. A lot better than that. He said, you don't want to go up there in this cold and snow and stand up in that. He said, no. So that's why I go into engineering. So I was a toolmaker engineer. I used to build tools all over. I started off with forging tools, you know forging tools, anyway. I started out forging tools and I had the press tools. Some press tools I built couldn't go through them double doors. And meow, from start to finish. Some of them take me up to 9 months. Massive, and some of them they're big. So I enjoy. But when I come down to Wales, I didn't do press tools. You know what I mean? I'd probably do a couple, but not much. I was more into CNC machines. And I, you know what I mean? I watched the blokes and working it and programming it. I said, if you can do that, my friend, I can do that. They got no training. I just watched them. See what they was doing. And then me and another chap named Greff, he was much better than I am. Then sometimes he showed me, if I'm doing it, he said, you're doing it the hard way, man. He said, you cycle. Do it in a cycle. And he showed me how to do that. I said, oh, that's all right, man. I said, oh, that's great. So I just put the cycle, so you know what I mean? So he said, are you going to write it again? All you do is call back the cycle. And this machine will come back to the read it, and it comes back, and it do all over again, the same thing, and it goes to the next cycle. So, you know what I mean? So I was doing a program. I could make a program to do probably that clock there, and I used 50 lines. And when it finished, you would see the same shape of the clock there. You see everything at the front there. You see it. 50 lines. All cycles. I use cycles. So enjoy it.
And if there was anything that you could pass on, any messages or anything to future generations, what would you say?
Listen. Use this. Drugs and smoking weeds and things like that, my friend, no good for you. Kills you. And don't care what anyone say, my friend, you start smoking weed, my friend. And the more you, if you smoke a joint today, because I never tried, so I never smoke in my life, but I got friends and cousins who smoke. And they said, when they smoke, they said, you have to know how to do it, my friend. You have to learn how to control that. Because it will tell you, I'll give you that demand. If you smoke a joint today, to feel the same way tomorrow, you have to smoke a joint and a half. And they said, if you're going to do that, my friend, you are in big trouble. You can't angle it. So if you can't angle a thing, stay away from it. So that's what I do. I don't smoke and I stay away from it. Don't get me wrong. They say marijuana, I get some and I buckle it and throw white rum on top of it. Leave it there. And I tell you so much, after about 3 or 4 months, it turns green. And if you have an upset stomach, my friend, you only need a tablespoon. And you drink that, my friend, throw nearly about twice as much water as you throw out, and you drink that. And I tell you this much, my friend, in about an hour's time, anything down there shifted, and you'll be ending up on the toilet. And after that, my friend, everything just go. You feel a bit weak, but everything just go, and you feel, in about a couple of hours, you feel 100% again. It's like a medicine. But you don't feed and you don't smoke it. And that's what we, you know what I mean? We should buckle it. Get white, you put it in a buckle, rub it in there, then pour the white rum on it. And you turn it green. And you leave it there for a few months, my friend. And you know, you have to use the top there. If you use just the English cork, In the night, you probably hear the buckle them going, pow, pow. When the strength hit them, they blow it up. So you have to use the screw code to hold it down. But, you know what I mean? If you couple catch you in Jamaica with it, they'll arrest you when I was there. But if you have a little bit, if you plan summertime for your own purpose and they come down and see it, that wouldn't trouble you. But if they see a big bungle, they know you're doing it as a business, and they'll arrest you because it's not legal. It's illegal. I know probably they make it legal now, which is to me one of the worst things they ever done, because
people out there now, my friend, who smoke it, you can't trust them. 1 minute they're right, and next minute they can just turn like that. And they'll kill you. So you can't trust them. So it's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. If you use it the wrong way, it's bad. So you have to know what you're doing. As I said, I don't smoke. So I tried a cigarette once. And I remember taking the second puff. And that was it. When I wake up, it was 12 hours later. I'm not happy about that. 12 hours later, I said, no, this is not for me, my friend. Not for me. Cut it out. Not for me.
Is there anything final that you would like to add?
In England, you know, I mean, like, since I've been over here, if I'm going to tell anybody saying I haven't seen prejudice, I'm lying. It's here.
But it never been used on me, if you know what I mean.
I always get on with people. I work, you know what I mean, the department I work in, when I work in Cumbria, with seating, I was the only black person in there. You go in the canteen, you know what I mean, and 90% I was the only black in the canteen. But I fit in. You know what I mean? I don't go in and tell people, oh well, I'm black and I'm the one that mix with you. No. My grandfather always says, son, when you go to another country, it's not yours. So you fit in. It's not your country. You see, even in Jamaica where it's your own country, son, you say you fit in. You can't say, oh well, I'm a Jamaican, so I can do anything. He said, no, you can't. He said, there's law and orders anywhere you go in this world, so you have to learn how to fit in. And I said to you, I never come with no run-ins with police where I have to put and cover my hand. Never in my life. And now I'm 71, I don't intend to go that far. I mean, if I tell anybody I've been stopped for speeding, I'll be lying. But I've never been booked for speeding. I stopped, show me license. They say, okay, that's it. So don't do it again. And that's it. But they book you and then they give you points on the license speeding. No. Never had that. I even caught in camera. I don't get away with it. I get away with it. I had a good life in this country. And I find a lot of doors been open for me. Hell of a lot of doors. Because I have respect for everybody. You know what I mean? People say, oh, well, you have to watch them. I said, no, man. I said, everybody do their own thing, my friend. You have to do yours. Whether he's white, black, Asian, or what you want to call him, he does his own thing, you do your own. He said, just all you got to remember is have respect for what he does and he will have respect for what you does. And I said, you can remember that, my friend, you'll go far away. But don't go and tell him the way he's doing is wrong, because to him what he's doing is right. And what you're doing to you is right. So don't go and tell him people say, oh, well, man, you're doing it the wrong way. I said, no, man. I said, everybody have to make his own mistake. I said, I make mistake. I make a few. Sometimes I'd like to turn the clock back, but you can't. So you're stuck with it. So best thing to do is to see if you can avoid it and see if you can pass it over and just get on with what's in front of you.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure and a colourful story. I visualise being in Jamaica and, you know, the fresh fruit. And it's fantastic that you've had such a, you know, amazing experience, you know, we're here in the UK. Yeah. I just want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.